increase our love to the Prophet.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated with regards to the virtues of reciting durood and salam in his court, and he has stated in his Mubarak hadith that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me in the world. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to this beautiful silsila of the blessed seerah of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, we are here discussing the biography of the most noble person in the history of mankind, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the master of all the prophets, Allahu Akbar. And today, inshallah, after we have discussed his miraculous birth, let us inshallah find out more about the childhood, the Mubarak childhood of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this episode. And it is mentioned that the first person to nurse the blessed messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Sayyida Suwayba radiallahu anha. Who is Sayyida Suwayba radiallahu anha? In the previous episode we have discussed that Abu Lahab, he had freed his female slave and her name was Suwayba radiallahu anha. This same lady whom Abu Lahab had freed, the freed maid servant of Abu Lahab, she was the first of the women that nursed our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And next was his beloved mother Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, and then Sayyida Halima Sadia radiallahu anha. Allahu Akbar. These are the three Mubarak and blessed ladies that had nursed our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it has been mentioned in Madarijun Nabuwa volume 1. And it was a custom of the affluent and noble Arabs to send their newborns to the villages to be nursed. Why? The air and water of the villages was pure and cleaner than that of the city, providing the newborn with the best possible environment when most susceptible to catching an illness or a bug. And another benefit was that they would learn to speak pure Arabic, unlike in Makkah Mukarrama, where the mixing and mingling of people from different places of the world, because of it being a city of commerce and trade, meant that the Arabic had invariably become tainted with different dialects, and so the Arabic was less eloquent in Makkah Mukarrama. And poor women would come from the villages and seek wealthy families to earn as much money as they could for taking care of their children. Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha relates that I went with the other women of Bani Sa'd to Makkah in search of a child to foster, and the Arabian Peninsula had been struck by a severe drought that year, and I had a child to take care of in this time, but because of my poverty, my breast milk was insufficient for him. He would stay awake and cry throughout the night because of hunger, and we would do nothing. We could do nothing but try to comfort him. Allahu Akbar. This was the state, and that the camel that they possessed could yield no milk, and the mule which she had, and she had rode upon the journey to Makkah, was so weak that it could barely manage to keep up pace with the caravan. Allahu Akbar. Even her fellow travelers had virtually lost patience with her. And she endured great hardship during the journey, but eventually reached the Mubarak city of Makkah Mukarramah. When the women saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learned that he was an orphan, none of them chose to take him, because nursing an orphan child would not pay well. And Sayyida Halima Saadia radiallahu ta'ala, Dai Halima as we call her, with love and affection, she was not given a child to foster, as it was known that she did not have sufficient milk to feed, and so the parents were reluctant to give their children. And however, this would be the very reason that would be a means of immense blessing for her. Allahu Akbar. She said to her husband, Haris, his name was Haris, I don't want to return empty-handed. It is better for me to take this orphan child rather. Haris agreed, and thus they returned with the orphan child. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would not only bring joy and illumination to the homes of Sayyida Halima and Sayyidina Haris, but to the house of Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, but to every corner of the world, this nur will illuminate. Allahu Akbar. Upon entering her tent to feed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was amazed that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his foster brother were both able to drink her milk to their heart's content before falling asleep. Subhanallah, this is the miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through the blessings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the camel of Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha, which previously gave no milk, now also gave abundant milk. Haris milked it, and both Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha and he drank the milk before falling asleep. Subhanallah. After witnessing the blessings brought by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Haris said, you have surely brought a much blessed child. And she replied, indeed, I too am hopeful that this child is truly blessed and a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. I am certain that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will bring immense blessings to our home. Subhanallah. Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha further narrates that we then left to take Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to our village. The very same mule now that moved so quickly that no other animal could keep up pace with it. And astonished by this, the women would ask, Halima, is this the same mule you arrived with, or did you purchase another? Subhanallah, this is again a miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his blessing. And upon reaching home, we found our village suffering from a severe drought and no animal could provide milk, yet through the blessings of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were saved from famine and milk became plentiful. Our animals would return from grazing and yield an abundance of milk, whereas the animals of others would not be able to produce even a single drop of milk. Subhanallah. Again, it's a miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, describing the blessed childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his world famous salam. And he says, Allah, Allah, wo bachpane ki phaban, us khuda bhati surat pe laakho salam. And Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she further says that upon observing this, the tribesmen instructed these shepherds to graze their animals on the pastures we did. This was to no avail, as they did not realize that all these blessings, they had nothing to do with the pastures of our animals, but it was the blessing of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something only we knew. Allahu Akbar. We witnessed his blessing every moment in which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in our care. I stopped breastfeeding him after 2 years, and his physical development was superior than that of children of his age. As was the custom, we returned Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his mother, who generously rewarded us for our care. And according to our custom, we had no right to keep him with us for any longer. But because of the prophetic blessings, we could not bear the separation from him. Allahu Akbar. Unexpectedly that year, a plague spread in Makkah. And this provided us with a good reason to convince Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha to allow us to take him back with us, Allahu Akbar, which she agreed to. Upon returning, our house was once again an abode of mercy and blessings. Subhanallah. He was quite content and happy with us. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would watch the other children play, but would never join in himself. One day, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "O mother, I don't ever see my brothers and sisters. Where do they disappear to every morning?" And Sayyida Halima says, "I replied that they take care of the animals and they take them to graze." Hearing this, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Mother, send me with them." And due to his insistence, I reluctantly allowed him to go with his foster brothers and sisters. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went out one day to rear the animal as usual. And at around midday, however, Damra, one of Sayyida Halima's son, ran home and cried out, "Mother, something dreadful has happened." 3 men wearing white clothes came and made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rest on his back. They then cut open his chest. Allahu Akbar. "I was afraid of them and ran back to inform you." Allahu Akbar. Hearing this, Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha and her husband ran to the field fearing the worst. They found the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting, but the complexion of his blessed face had changed. Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha, she comforted him and asked what had happened. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "3 men with very clean white clothes came and made me lie on my back, and they opened my chest, took something out and replaced it with something else before stitching my chest back together, and I felt no pain when they were doing this." This incident has been recorded in Madarijun Nubuwwah Sharif, and Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha and her husband became increasingly afraid, and the latter said, "We fear that he has been afflicted with black magic, mahazullah. We should return him to Makkah as soon as possible." Fearing that she could no longer look after him, Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha took the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Makkah to Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, who asked, "O Halima, you took my son with much eagerness for the second time. What makes you return with him so soon?" And to that, Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, now she related the story of opening of the chest and expressed her concern over the possibility of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being afflicted with black magic. Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, she replied, "By Allah, this is impossible. My son can never be a victim of such a thing. He has an unimaginable glory." She then related to Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala the miraculous incidents which occurred at the time of the birth of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. This brought comfort to the heart of Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Sayyida Halima then bid farewell to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and left him in the care of his beloved mother. Subhanallah. And as we just learned about the opening of the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it didn't only happen once. It happened on 4 occasions in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it has been documented in a hadith, and let us inshallah learn more about this. And in his commentary of Surah Al-Inshirah, Shaykh Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlvi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he mentions that shaqq al-sadr, meaning the opening of the chest, occurred 4 times, and on every occasion the chest of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was filled with increased light, nur and wisdom, subhanallah. And the first time it occurred while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the care of Sayyidah Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the very incident we just learned. And the wisdom in this was that it protected him from any evil whisperings that lead children to useless play, amusement and mischievous behavior. And then the second time it happened is when he reached the age of 10 years to stave off the undesirable thoughts that often preoccupy the adolescent mind. And the third time it had occurred, he was in the cave of Hira. His heart was filled with further tranquility and light, enabling him to bear the might of the divine revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, known as Wahy. And the fourth time it happened, Allahu Akbar, it happened at the occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being prepared for the journey of ascension, Al-Mi'raj, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, and for beholding and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This miraculous event, at that time as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest was opened. It is mentioned that Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala relates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cradle would be rocked by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the moon would move in the direction he gestured. Subhanallah. Such a beautiful miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu very beautifully describes in his Qasidah Noor. And he says, Chaad jhuk jata jidhar ungli uthate mahad mein, Chaad jhuk jata jidhar ungli uthate mahad mein, Chaad jhuk jata jidhar ungli uthate mahad mein, kya hi chalta tha isharon par khilona noor ka. Subhanallah, such beautiful word in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, summarizing this incident where Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his cradle would be rocked by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the moon would move in the direction in which he gestured. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of Madani channel, when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to talk, he would go out and watch the other children play, but never join in with them. When they would call him, he would simply say to them, I have not been created to play. Allahu Akbar. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was only 6 years of age, his mother Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha took him along with her and with the lady Sayyida Ummi Ayman radiallahu anha to visit the maternal family of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anha. And the tribe, the family was the Banu Adi ibn al-Najjar, and it was in Al-Madina al-Munawwara. The tribe was in Madina Munawwara. It has also been mentioned that here she also visited the grave of her husband Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And on the return of the journey, Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away in a village called Abwa, and was laid to rest there. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father had passed away shortly before his birth, and now he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no longer able to experience the love and care of his beloved mother. However, this orphaned child of Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha was decreed to be nurtured and brought up under the guidance and care of the self-subsistent Allahu Akbar. Sayyida Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha returned to Makkah al-Mukarramah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, took care of him until he passed away. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 8 years old. He was only 8 years old at the time Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. And Sayyida Umm Ayman radiallahu anha remained in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during this period as well. And after the demise of his grandfather Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in the care of his uncle Abu Talib. And the grace of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, made Abu Talib love him so dearly that he would never let his nephew out of his sight, subhanallah. And keeping the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with him, whether he was at home or out and about, he would ensure that they always ate together. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his bed was placed by the side of his. Allahu Akbar. He would never let himself be separated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not even for a moment. Subhanallah. Abu Talib relates that I never saw Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taking part in futile amusement. My nephew never spoke a lie, Allahu Akbar, never caused harm or deceived anyone, nor did he ever behave immorally. He possessed lofty and upright moral character coupled with piety and righteousness. Subhanallah, these were the qualities noticed and witnessed by his uncle Abu Talib. Once a terrible drought, listen to this beautiful incident, that once a terrible drought struck the people of Arabia and the Makkans decided to turn to their idols in supplication, but were stopped by an elderly man who said, O people of Makkah, amongst us is Abu Talib, who is from the descendants of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, the builder of the Kaaba. He is also its present trustee and custodian. We should ask him to supplicate for us. The crowd commended this suggestion and with their leaders turned to the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pleading that, O Abu Talib, this drought has brought us to our knees. Our animals have no water, nor do we have anything to eat or drink. Even our trade has come to a halt. The impact of this drought can be seen everywhere. So we beseech you to implore for rain. Allahu Akbar. Abu Talib was moved by this plight and headed for the Kaaba with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his side. He made him sit against the wall of the holy Kaaba and began to supplicate. While doing this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his finger towards the sky and immediately it began to rain in every town and suburb, leaving the Arabs overjoyed. Subhanallah. This is a miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Talib mentions this event in a qasida that he wrote in the praise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is said that he said in his own words, for his is a luminous face through which rain is sought, succor of the orphans, protector of the widow. Subhanallah. This is mentioned in Az-Zarqani ala al-Mawahib. Now, one of the titles of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Al-Ummi, dear viewers. Al-Ummi. And it has two meanings. The word Ummi, it has two meanings. The first is a reference to being Makkan, as Makkah al-Mukarramah is referred to as Umm al-Qura, meaning mother of all cities, subhanallah, a title of Makkah Mukarramah. So a person heralding from Makkah Mukarramah would be said to be Ummi, subhanallah. And the second meaning of the word Ummi, of the title Ummi, is the one who has not been taught by anyone in the world. This was one of the greatest miracles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he never acquired knowledge from anyone other than Allah Azza wa Jal, the most exalted. Allah Azza wa Jal granted him such vast knowledge that his blessed chest contained the knowledge of the first and the last, as mentioned in the Holy Quran, and we have sent down this Quran on you in which everything is clearly explained. Subhanallah. This is the declaration of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed the knowledge of everything upon our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Shaykh Shamsuddin Muhammad Hafiz al-Shirazi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes that my beloved never went to any madrasa, nor did he learn to write. Rather, through the mere gestures of his eyes, he taught a great number of teachers. Subhanallah, al-muallim he was. And for the person whose teacher is Allah Azza wa Jal, what need is there to seek knowledge from others? Subhanallah. And it is said that why would such an ummi, subhanallah, ever be in need of a teacher? Does it not suffice that the most beneficent instructed him to read? Allahu Akbar. And this is composed by none other than Sayyidi Ala Hadrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in Hadaiqe Bakhshish. As to what the real wisdom behind the title of Al-Ummi is, who truly knows besides the knower of the unseen and the seen, Alim al-Ghayb wa Shahada Allah Azza wa Jal. However, some of the wisdom in it is that which occurred to me as the author of Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the teacher of knowledge and wisdom, meaning ilm and hikmah, to all mankind, with his teacher being Allah Azza wa Jal alone. This has been declared by Allah Azza wa Jal, so that no man can claim that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his student, or that he acquired knowledge from someone. Allahu Akbar. The second is that no one is ever able to think that another person possessed greater knowledge than the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of that former being his teacher. Subhanallah. The third is that no one is ever able to think that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concocted the Holy Quran due to being taught how to read and write. Allahu Akbar. And the fourth wisdom behind it is that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could also not be accused of imitating the divine scriptures revealed to previous messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth is that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a teacher, the teacher's respect and obedience would have been compulsory upon him, whereas Allah Azza wa Jal has created the entire universe to respect and obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful Madani pearls of wisdom. And the Quraysh, they were merchants and would travel twice in the year for trade. And they would travel south to Yemen in winter and north to Asham in summer. And Abu Talib was also a merchant and was preparing for his trade journey to Asham. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, he wished to go along with his uncle. And due to his immense love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib agreed to take him, and they set off for Asham. At the time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only 12 years of age. Dear viewers, prior to the proclamation of his prophethood, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made 3 business trips, twice to Asham and once to Yemen. And on his first journey to Asham, the caravan stopped at a town called Basra, and where there was a monastery. A monk by the name of Jarjis, who was also known as Bahira, lived in that monastery. He immediately recognized the signs and the descriptions of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as mentioned in Torah and in Injil, as the description of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bahira paid great respect to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and respectfully invited those with him to partake in a meal. And he said, your nephew Muhammad, he said to Abu Talib, that your nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of the entire world, a messenger of Allah, and has been sent as a mercy for all the world. Subhanallah, rahmatan lil alameen. I have seen trees and rocks prostrate and bow to him and clouds shading him. He also has the seal of prophethood between his two shoulders, Allahu Akbar. Therefore, you should not proceed any further, and it is actually better for you to sell your merchandise here and immediately return to Makkah with him. As the Jews of Syria, they are his greatest enemies. If they see him, they will most definitely slay him, he said to Abu Talib. And Abu Talib perceived the risk by what Bahira had informed him, and accordingly decided that the merchandise be sold in Basra, and Bahira gave them food for the return journey and bid them farewell. Subhanallah. This is the Mubarak childhood of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are learning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to learn more and more about the noble personality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and act upon his sunnah inshallah, and derive the pearls of wisdom that we can extract from his biography, the greatest biography ever written of any personality of in mankind. Allahu Akbar. Let us inshallah conclude with this mission before inshallah we move to the next episode, which will be with regards to the marriage of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his first wife Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha inshallah. So please stay tuned with Madani channel. Let us inshallah conclude with this beautiful mission of the fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah, which is your Dawat-e-Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.